Lord, we do just come before you today and we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. But Lord, as we open your word now, as we continue to chat about faith, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that you would encourage us. And Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Now perhaps you can think back to your school days. Maybe some of you are still at school and you don't have a problem doing that. But I remember when I was at school, sitting in my maths class in high school, and, well, I got sick and tired of doing silly equations. Do this, do that. Solve for X. You know, the old joke goes, you know, find X. And there's a little triangle with X marked on it, and the person circles it and says, here it is. Sometimes that's how we feel when it comes to maths. You might feel like that about other subjects. Who cares if an angle has a sum triangle or a sum total of angles of 180 degrees? What difference does it make? What's the point of logarithms? What's the point of parabolas? And all these other things that we did in maths. Well, when I finished school, I started working in a factory. And I started doing woodwork, as you many of you know. And part of the work that I needed to do was to calculate angles. Part of the work that I needed to do was to calculate volume and circumference of things so that I could work out how many segments there were in a particular sized circle. I needed to use trigonometry. I needed to use those funny words that we always forgot about, sin, cos, and tan. Suddenly, maths had a purpose for me. Now, in the same vein, sometimes faith might seem a little bit like maths class. Pointless stuff that's got no meaning at all. So what is the purpose of faith? Why do we have faith? Over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at some of what faith is. And of course, what some of what faith is not. And you'll remember that we've discussed that faith needs to be placed in something that is faithful or someone who is faithful. Our faith in God is in God because God is faithful, as Paul tells us in Romans 4, verse 21, which we looked at last week and the week before, that God is both willing and able to do what he promised. And so our faith is based in a faithful God. But we also saw that faith is not only based in a faithful God, but that our faith is also filled with power. Power to save us. Because God is faithful to do what he's promised. And as we trust God, as we put our faith in what God has done for us, this faith is then credited to us as righteousness. You remember the discussion with Abraham in Romans 4. In other words, what we have learned is that when we trust in the faithful God, who is able and willing to do what he said he would do, then we are saved from our sin and seen as perfect in God's eyes. But we're only partway through our study on faith, and we reach what I perhaps call the pinnacle of faith as we discover what is the purpose of faith. Now, I know we've looked at this passage just recently when we went through Ephesians, and we picked up the fact that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But there are many other things that we can pull from this passage as well. And this morning, I want to try and help us understand what the purpose of faith is from this passage. So my first comment this morning, why faith? Perhaps the question on your lips is, couldn't God just have found a simpler way for us to get salvation? Couldn't God have chosen some other way instead of faith? But friends, you see, that's just it. God has saved us through faith, not because of anything we have done, but through what he himself has done for us. And friends, that makes Christianity unique amongst the religions of the world. No other religion in the world relies on what someone else has done for us. Muslims rely on Allah, or rely on obedience to Allah for salvation. It's what they do. It's how they obey the rules. Hindus rely on escaping the cycle of reincarnation by doing their duty. Other religions rely on the fact that you need to tell people about Jesus or about God, otherwise you won't be saved. Some religions say you've got to get rid of all evil in your life, and so you've got to isolate yourself from the world, and you've got to remove those evil thoughts from your mind, and then you will be saved. But the difference between all those religions and Christianity is that all of them rely on what we do, whereas our faith is on what Jesus has done for us. So in a sense, faith is actually the simplest and the easiest way that we can be saved. All we have to do is trust that what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus will save us. We don't have to do and obey commands in order to be saved. We don't have to carry on and do all lots of other things to ensure that we are saved. Of course, we want to do those things, but that's the other way around. We don't do them in order to be saved. We do them because we have been saved. So the fact that God has chosen faith as the means of salvation, I think, is a wonderful thing, for none of us can reach the standards that God has set any other way. But that still doesn't deal with the question, what is the purpose of faith? Many of you might have come across the book that Bryson Smith wrote called Faith, and he suggests two major reasons of the purpose of faith. One, to bring praise to God, and two, to give us assurance. And I want to add a third one to that, and that the purpose of faith is also to unite us to Jesus Christ. So let's get stuck in and have a look at these three elements of what the purpose of faith is. And so my second point this morning, to give praise. Notice in our passage this morning that every time Paul talks about faith in Jesus, he mentions that the purpose is, verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. Do you see that? He says there that he had predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Why? To be filled, or to the praise of his glorious grace. Notice verse 12. In order that we, who were the first to hope, or the first to have faith in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And look at the second half of verse 14. To the praise of his glory. You see, friends, when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in fact honoring God and his faithfulness to us. And so, by putting our faith in him, we bring praise to God. Now, don't get me wrong here. God is not some egotistical God who's wanting our praise. But as God saves us through faith, it highlights the fact that God is able to do what we are not able to do, and so, as a result, we praise God. Sure, you've all been in situations at times where, try as you may, you cannot get yourself out of that particular situation. Perhaps you were in a car accident and you were trapped in a car. There was no ways that you could get out without somebody else helping you. Perhaps you've been in financial difficulty and you needed somebody to bail you out. There was nothing that you in your own could do without somebody else helping you. And that's what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners. We have been rebelling against God. There is nothing that we can do to earn God's favor except through Jesus. Jesus came. Jesus helped us, and Jesus gives us salvation. Even the prophet Isaiah says something along the same idea about giving praise and splendor and glory to God. And he's speaking here in Isaiah 61, verse 3, the second half of verse 3, speaking here about those who put their trust in the Lord. They will be called oaks of righteousness. In other words, well, what we would say today, Christians, a planting of the Lord. And notice what he says in verse 6, in this last bit of verse 3 of chapter 61. For the display of his splendor. Perhaps I could explain this using an illustration. If I mention that I have done lots of studies on a particular subject and tell you all that I will speak about it at a meeting next week, then I am honored when you guys arrive to come and listen to me speak on a particular subject. In a similar way, and without ulterior motives, God is honored and receives praise from us when we choose to put our faith and our trust in him. In the book that Bryson Smith wrote, he goes on to a discussion of how we put our faith in Jesus, in that it brings honor to God. He mentions four things that our faith shows. One, that is, God is holy. Secondly, that our praise also shows the love of God and how he gave his son to die in our place. Our praise to God is also shown there through God's grace as he gives us what we didn't deserve. And lastly, our praise of God shows the wisdom of God. Now, unfortunately, we don't have time to unpack each of those four elements this morning. But perhaps you'd like to come and chat to me about those. But you see, one of the purposes of faith is to bring praise to God. A second purpose of faith is to get assurance. There's nothing worse than doing something or trusting in someone or something and knowing that it will not work out. We were watching the movie Pearl Harbor last night. You might have seen it. It's an oldish movie now. And at one point in the movie, after Pearl Harbor had been attacked and President Roosevelt and his cabinet are all sitting down to discuss the fact that they need to go off to war, one of the generals or the admirals of the Navy says to President Roosevelt, he says, "What you are asking, sir, is impossible. It cannot be done." Now imagine how President Roosevelt felt. His country had been attacked. 3,000-4,000 men had been killed. He needed assurance that when he gave a command, it would happen. And so President Roosevelt, who was sitting in a wheelchair, well, this is how the movie portrays it at any rate, pulls himself out of his chair with great effort, chasing people away who are trying to help him. And he stands up in front of his cabinet and he says to them, "Don't tell me things are impossible." He gave them assurance that he was behind them. They needed to come up with a plan. And of course they did, and that's when the bombing of Japan took place. But you see, as Christians, we also need assurance. We're not left hanging in the lurch, thinking, this whole thing is impossible. Will my faith really save me? Shouldn't I do this? Shouldn't I do that? Well, again, Paul says in Ephesians 1 that we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. When we put our trust in the faithful God who has done what he promised to do, we are given assurance that what has been done will happen because, he says here, we have been given the Holy Spirit. Look at verses 13 and 14. He says, having believed, in other words, trusting in the faithful God, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Can you see the assurance that we have? We've been given a deposit. As I do various jobs for people around the community, my assurance that they will pay the full amount is that they give me half the amount up front. It's a deposit guaranteeing that at least my materials are covered. And that's what we have been given as Christians. Not just any old deposit, but a deposit that will guarantee our inheritance. It's interesting that no other religion in the world has such a guarantee. You can speak to any person from any other religion, ask them, are you certain that you will be saved? And they will say, well, I really hope so. I've really done the good things. I'm sure God will look with favor upon me. But there's no certainty. You never know whether you will be with God until the moment you die. But as Christians, we have that assurance. We know that, hey, I know where I'm going. So when the wheels fall off in my life, I've got assurance that I know I am going to God. You see, part of the purpose of faith is assurance. We're not left wondering if we will be saved. For when we've accepted through faith what God has done for us through his Son, we receive the Holy Spirit. Not only to help us in our daily walk with Jesus, but to give us assurance that we will be saved. So faith has the purpose of bringing praise to God, as well as giving us assurance. But note, lastly, that faith also leads to us being united to God. See, in the midst of all our faith, the following of Jesus, the last purpose of faith, is simply that we will be united with God. See, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Faith in Jesus means we are now part of God's family. That means that we are now seen as God's sons and daughters. What a great purpose faith has. We are united to God as his own children. And of course, faith in Jesus means that we now have access to God, to God the Father, like a child has access to their parents. But look at this, verse 10, Paul continues. He says, faith in God also brings all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. You see, our faith unites us with Christ. What a privilege we have. When we put our faith and trust in the God who is faithful in himself, and does what he's promised to do, we receive the power of salvation through our faith. We give glory to God, and we receive assurance as we are united with Christ. Paul explains this again in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now show me another religion in the world that can offer you this. We don't have to do anything to earn our salvation except trust in a faithful God who has delivered on his promises. When we do trust in him, we bring praise to God, and part of that praise to God is worked out as we obey him and follow his laws and decrees. And we receive assurance and unity with God. No meditation or trances, no hoping our good deeds will be good enough, no working harder to make sure, not at all. We have total assurance given to us in the Holy Spirit, and we have unity with the very person who has saved us. So friends, where is your faith? Are you trusting in yourself to get to heaven? Do you trust in what you do to get you through this world? If this is you, then you need to make sure that you rather put your faith in a faithful God who will do what he has promised to do. Now let me encourage you to trust God who is faithful to do what he's promised rather than to trust yourself. But I'm sure that many of you here have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're wondering, am I really a true Christian? Well, remember that we have the Holy Spirit in us. The fact that you are wondering if you are a true Christian when you know that you've prayed the prayer, the believer's prayer, is perhaps assurance in itself that you are. But we have been reminded that just by the fact that we have faith in Jesus means that we have the Holy Spirit in our life. He is the deposit that guarantees our inheritance, that shows us that we are united with Christ. So if we do have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, how then are we living our lives in praise to him? Are we giving glory to God in all that he does? Whether it's a good time or a bad time. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us in this. Lord, we do just come before you this morning and thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for showing us that faith has a purpose, that it's not just based on some airy-fairy idea, but that the faith has a purpose, one of bringing glory to you, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to glorify you as we live our lives from day to day, as we glorify you, as we share your word with others. But Lord, help us also, as we live our lives, that we would remember that you have given us the Holy Spirit as an assurance guaranteeing our inheritance. So Lord, help us not to lose hope. And Lord, lastly, we thank you that we can be united with you. Thank you that through our faith, we can be called your children. And so Lord, help us to live according to who we are. Lord, if there's any here this morning who do not have their faith in you and are trying to do good works, coming to church thinking that that will show favor to you, Lord, help them to realize that they need to trust you and not themselves. And we ask this in your name. Amen.